If you happen to bring a Bible with you today, I would invite you to open it to John chapter 11. If you didn't, no problem. You're going to walk away from here asking yourself, maybe you won't even have to ask, what was the thing that gripped you? I mean, I was so gripped by that rendition of who Jesus is in every book of the Bible. Every time, I remember Chris doing that about a decade ago for the first time I heard it, and I about came out of my seat, and the same thing happened again. Thank you so much, Chris, for doing that. What a blessing. Jesus is the main theme of this book. Every book of the Bible has his name in it in some way, shape, or form. In fact, there are over 100 names for Jesus in the Bible. And in a real sense, he is the nameless one. You can't capture his essence with just one name. The one we love most, though, is Jesus, isn't it? And his name means salvation. So many names for so great a man. And he was the man, wasn't he? The God-man, the Bible describes him as. You know, he called himself a number of things as well. He described himself as the door of salvation. He described himself as the light of the world. He described himself as the vine, our very sustenance. He described himself as the bread of life. He described himself as the good shepherd. He described himself as the way and the truth and the life. And that nobody can come to the Father except through him. And perhaps the greatest self-description that Jesus ever gave is the one you're looking at. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. And when he said that, at the end of that self-description, he added these words for you and I. He said this, "Do you believe this?" Jesus is asking you this morning to believe what this day is all about. The resurrection is one of, if not the most established facts of all history. When you think about it, the empty tomb, no body for the enemies to portray. The many appearances of Jesus, including at one time to over 500 people at one particular time. His disciples who were cowering as fools and fearful before he died, and when he died, when he rose again, went forth with absolute fearlessness, and all but one of them died a martyr's death. And then this church and worldwide missions movement, which is encircling the globe for the sake of Christ, all because of this day that we celebrate. The resurrection of Jesus is the crowning proof that he was who he claimed to be, the very Son of God. The resurrection was the central point of the apostles and apostolic preaching in the first century. Nobody questioned that Jesus died. The question was, did he rise again? And that was the central part of their preaching. And it is the actual good news of the good news. A dead Jesus doesn't do you or me any good. Dying for our sins, but not rising again, relegates him to just another great guy on the spectrum of history. But he did rise again. And he ever lives to make intercession for us. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that's when you'll be saved. It's what makes the gospel the gospel. And what's more, it is the power. The resurrection principle in your life is the power that allows you to live for him. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so you and I, who know him, should walk in newness of life. Because we have that principle of life embedded within us. And really, it's the reason we meet here every Sunday. No resurrection, no reason for getting together on the Lord's Day. And so, here Jesus does really the apex of all of his miracles. He did a lot of miracles, but none of them were like this one. And it's this one that he beckons you and I to believe in him. Remember, after he describes himself as the resurrection and the life, he says, "Do you believe this?" I want to give you, from this passage in John chapter 11 today, three reasons for you to believe in Jesus today. And here's the first one. Because he offers you his greatest promise, life from the dead. Many of you know this story, but in case you don't, Jesus is well established in his ministry. In fact, he's turning the corner to the time when he actually goes to the cross. And his best friends in the whole wide world are a trio, brother and two sisters by the name of Lazarus and Mary and Martha. And he loves hanging out with them in Bethany. And so he's in another town, and news reaches him that his good friend Lazarus is very, very sick. Please come, heal him up. And so Jesus, hearing the sickness of his dear friend Lazarus, does what any of us would do. He dropped everything and stayed where he was for two more days. In fact, he may have already died by the time the messenger had come to Jesus and said Lazarus was sick. By the time Jesus finally shows up on the scene, Lazarus is 4 days in the grave. He's dead. His disciples don't get it. Because Jesus says to him, I'm going to go wake up Lazarus. He's sleeping. Well, if he's sleeping, don't worry about it. You don't get it, Jesus says. He's dead. 4 days in the grave, finally Jesus shows up. He found Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Verse 18 says, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, he went and met him, and Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to Martha, your brother will rise again. Martha, doctrinally sound, says, I know he will rise again on the resurrection of the last day. But she doesn't realize she's looking at the resurrection and the life. Jesus didn't let people die in front of him. And people that were near him, that were dead, came to life. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who's coming into the world. You can believe in Jesus because of this very claim right here. This very claim right here. Jesus Christ offers you his greatest promise that even though you die, and some of you in a room this size, chances are some of you will not be with us next year. Maybe I won't. But if you die and you've believed in Jesus, you'll live again. He will raise you up. He is offering to you his greatest promise to resurrect you. And here's how it works. When you trust Jesus, when you believe in Jesus, he puts his life principle in you. The Bible says that you who are apart from Jesus are dead. Now, I know it doesn't seem like that because you feel yourself, you're quite a bit alive right now, right? But inside, in your heart of hearts, you're dead. You're dead in what the Bible calls your trespasses and your sins. Your church can't save you. Your baptism can't save you. Your confirmation can't save you. 1,000 things that you might trust cannot save you. But Jesus can, because he has the principle of life. And what happens is, when you trust him, he puts life into your deadness. And so what happens is, even though physically you still die, that principle is there. And you have to rise again because he's come to live in you. And Jesus Christ is life. He's the resurrection and the life. And if you believe in him, though you may die, yet you shall live. So there's your first reason. Because he offers you your absolute, the absolute greatest promise. Here's the second thing you ought to know. And it is this. Because he feels your deepest pain. This is the story where some of the most famous words of Jesus are found. In fact, some people, it's the only verse they know in the whole Bible. What's the shortest verse in the Bible? Jesus wept. Here it is. Jesus wept. He comes to this place, and in the process, Mary, who's been sitting in the house the whole time, she comes out. And she comes to Jesus, and she says in verse 32, she came where Jesus was, she saw him, she fell at his feet. She's always at Jesus' feet, if you'll notice in the Bible. And she says to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. You'd think Mary and Martha rehearsed all of their lines. That's exactly what Martha had said. The dreaded if. Someone has said, when you say if, you're looking back at a part or at a past that can't be changed. Some of you are here today and somebody close to you has died. How many here have somebody close to you that has died? Just raise your hand if you've had somebody close to you die. And that's a lot of hands. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand here, but I'm guessing that some of you that raised your hand, you're thinking, if I had just been there, if I had just made that phone call, if I had just called the doctor a day earlier, if I had just responded. I remember when my wife and I went on a walk one day and we came back and she was, we had just had a brisk walk, and she had heartburn. Well, she never had heartburn. I got heartburn because I was always eating greasy food, you know. I said, I got a way to get rid of it. I just take a couple of Tums, that'll knock it right out. I popped a couple, took care of it for me. I said, how do you feel? She says, I still have it. I said, no, that's weird. It'll go away. It did. And 2 weeks later, she died of a heart attack. Sometime later, I got thinking, I wonder if I had just, if, listen, that if thing will not do you any good. What has happened has happened. You can't do anything about it. But you can rely on this. Jesus, who offers you his greatest promise, also feels your greatest pain. Doesn't matter what it is. He knows what you're going through. In fact, this very passage says that when he approached the tomb, he saw all these people. They're crying. They're wailing. It uses a word which means to wail out loud. The Bible says that when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews, verse 33, who had come with her weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. In the original, this carries almost a supernatural intensity. In fact, the Greek word for moved means to snort. Something internally was just convulsing within Jesus. In fact, some theologians think he was angry at sin and what sin had done to Lazarus. It's very difficult to know, or just it's pure speculation. I know this, verse 35, Jesus wept. And that word weep, it just means to quietly cry. That's all it means. Doesn't mean to wail out loud. And we know when he saw what was going on, he was moved. Let me tell you why you can believe in Jesus today. Not only because he offers to you his greatest promise, but because he can relate to you in your deepest, your greatest, your most heartfelt pain, whatever it may be right now. Some of you are struggling over your sins. It pains you that you're going to go out of here today and you're going to go back to that life of immorality. You know in your mind that if something doesn't change, you're going to go back to that life of sinfulness, of You're going to go back to that life of anger and bitterness and resentment and all these things that you carried in here today. But there's something else going on inside of you right now. You're thinking, if Jesus really knows what's going on in me, can he take that out? Hey, he can. He can take all of that out. He'll take the darkness away from you. He'll take the guilt away from you. He'll take the sin away from you. Because when he died 3 days earlier, he bore your sins. But if you trust him as your Savior, he puts that life principle in you, takes your sin away, because he relates to you. The Bible says he can sympathize with our weaknesses. Believe in Jesus today, because he offers to you his greatest promise, and he feels for you your deepest pain. And finally, you can believe in Jesus because he solves for you your greatest problem. Your greatest problem is sin. The sin is what's going to kill you, okay? It's going to kill me too. But if you have the life principle in you, you'll rise again. And only then. Jesus approaches this grave. You got to love the story, and I've got to read the text. Deeply moved again, verse 38, he came to the tomb. It was a cave, and the stone lay against it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there's an odor. He's been dead for 4 days." In fact, the Greek says he's a four-day man. The Jews had a superstition that the spirit hovered over the body for about 3 days. But after that, the fourth day, it took off. So basically, they're saying, there's no hope left. You might have been able to put it all together for a day or two. Not anymore. He showed up at Jairus' grave. He showed up at the widow of Nain's son on the day they died. But Lazarus had been there for 4 days, and now he's starting to rot. He's got a problem. And she's saying, don't do that. Jesus says, take it away. Did I not tell you that if you believed, you'd see the glory of God? So they took the stone away, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me." I love that line. "But I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he'd said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, face wrapped with cloth. Jesus said, "Unbind him and let him go." Let me tell you something. Jesus always delivers on his promises. I said that you can trust him because he offers you his greatest promise. And here, he delivers. He solves your greatest problem. And some of you are still dead in your trespasses and sins. Like Lazarus, you're going to go to the grave. But unlike Lazarus, you don't have the principle of life in you. Lazarus would die again. Did you know that? Just like you and I will die. But he has the principle of life in him. And he will rise again. Your greatest problem is dying in your sins. Two people dying in the last couple of weeks have called me to their sides. One was a man who was still dead in his trespasses and sins. As I preached the gospel to him with probably 30 or 40 people around me, he believed in Jesus and then died with the principle of life in him. And just the other day, actually, one has died, the other is not. There's a lady around here whose name is Millie. Her and her husband, I used to call them the denim duo. They always had denim on. Millie Davis, color-coded from head to toe, just a woman of style, but she loved Jesus. She loved Jesus and still loves him. And she's dying. I wouldn't be surprised she goes to heaven on this resurrection day. Truly, truly. And just the other day, she's been slipping for a while. The other day, she's in the hospital. She says to some friends, "I'm sorry this is taking so long." You see, Millie has the principle of life in her. She can't wait to see that thing come about. Will you see it? Let's pray. Would you all just bow your heads right now and close your eyes? We're going to sing a song that we sang a little earlier in a moment. I wonder if it's true of you. I will rise again. Would you think about this? Some of you here today, you've come in here and you're doubting. You've heard the truth all of your life. You may be a young person here and you've been raised in a Christian home, but man, there's so much out there that's drawing you away from God. And you'd like to come back to Him today. Why don't you do that? You might be a young person and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. You need the principle of life in you. You might be an older person here and you're visiting. And, you've been in and out of churches part of your life, maybe most of it. But you don't have the principle of life in you. Listen, Jesus will solve your greatest problem. He offers to you His greatest promise to save you from your sins. And realize here this morning, He sees your deepest need, your greatest pain, and He knows what you're going through. Why don't you let Him in? Believe that He died for you. Believe that He rose again. Acknowledge your sin and ask Him to come into your heart right now in prayer. Think about this. If it would be your heart's desire to have your sins forgiven, Jesus asked the question. He said, "Do you believe this?" Well, do you? Do you want your sins to be forgiven? If you do, would you just pray in your heart right now? It's got to be real. It's got to be genuine. Jesus is listening. Tell Him you're sorry for your sins. Tell Him right now, "I'm not trusting anything else. I'm not trusting my church. I'm not trusting my upbringing. I'm not even trusting a prayer I prayed. I'm trusting You, Jesus. I'm believing in You. You're my resurrection. You're my life. You died and rose for me. Is that your prayer? Ask Him to come into your heart right now. Forgive you. Be your Savior and resurrected Lord."
We'd like to thank you for listening to our weekly podcast. We'd also like to invite you to visit our website at www.sailorvillebaptist.com. Drop us a line and let us know how we can serve you better. We'll see you next week.